Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Grounded with Brandon and Craig. Sitting across from me is the one and only
Brandon.
And yesterday you were TCB. You know what that means? Taking care of business. And I'm Craig.
TCB.
Yeah, you're like Elvis. Taking care of business, bro.
Taking care of business.
So how's it going on this cold winter morning?
It's good.
Like, spring's like 6 days away. What's going on here?
I don't know. I'm not liking it.
As we were making our way back home from Tennessee, we got into some like snow showers. Like,
I text
heavy
you.
Snow showers.
I text you yesterday morning. I'm like, bro, don't come home. It's snowing here.
Almost took you up on it.
Right?
Almost took you up on it.
Yeah, it's bad when I'm ready for the weather to move on.
Let me tell you something.
You've been ready.
I was ready back in October
of last year. I know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, how's it going with you?
It's going good. We were just talking, the time change.
Oh, man, I was dragging this morning.
It's getting me.
But you know what helps? We're drinking coffee.
Black Rifle.
As always, Black Rifle. And I'm on my second cup, which never happens usually. And we ran out because we had several people drinking our coffee.
The guys know that Monday mornings they can come in and get coffee.
And so is that what we're drinking?
This is what we were drinking earlier. I'm still drinking a little bit. You're on your second cup now. But Flying Elk. We had someone give us the new edition of Flying Elk. I've got some of the original Flying Elk on the shelf up here. And it's really good.
Yeah.
But this one's really good. It's the newer edition. It was smooth.
It was very smooth, and I had my shot of espresso, and every cup of coffee now for me is going to be better than ever. Do you know why?
Because you're drinking out of a Willie Nelson coffee mug.
And it says Willie Nelson, 100% pure country.
100 proof.
100 proof. And it's in a whiskey barrel.
It's in a whiskey barrel. 100
so,
proof.
I mean, what do you do? I mean, so...
You know what would make that better?
What?
If it wasn't ceramic, but it was actually wood.
Well, that would be...
They'd have to seal that really well.
They would have to seal it very well. So.
Epoxy. I mean, they could do it.
But I bought this when I was in Tennessee. It was like the only one left that they had, and I thought, this is coming back with me.
Yeah, I didn't want one, thanks.
Well, I would have bought you one. I would have bought you one if they had one, but they did not. So, I'm sure it's a hot seller down there.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's why there was only one left.
I'm drinking out of my possum mug.
Yeah, Willie and Possum.
Willie and the Possum.
It doesn't get much better than that.
That'd be a good...
Well,
album
possum,
title.
I mean, George Jones is the possum.
There you go.
So, could be, man, whatever.
He stopped loving her today.
Not even close. So, I guess you're not taking care of business. Dude, that was rough.
That was rough.
That was brutal.
I blame the time change.
I will. Time change. So, yeah, thank you guys.
Yeah, that is a hard voice to mimic, too, though. George Jones.
Yeah, you can't mimic it. There's one of a kind. So yeah, Flying Elk was good. Thank you for that. And
yes.
Then, I'm now drinking, I got a K-cup and I'm drinking the one that smells like maple bacon.
That's the bourbon. Like. So you're drinking the bourbon coffee out of your bourbon barrel cup.
He didn't know I was making it. He was gone, walked back in the room. He's like,
smells like breakfast.
It did, didn't it?
I was hungry.
Yeah.
It's like, forget the smoothie that I had. I wanted like little sausage links and pancakes.
Tell
me that's not what it smells like.
That's exactly what it smells like.
Goodness. So you had a good trip?
Yes, really good trip. I wore shorts all week.
Until
I came back here.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, you know, and up in the mountains, in the cove, you know.
Saw a ton of deer the one day.
Saw a ton of deer. Yeah, no bear. I'm sorry about that, but still just beautiful being up there. Water was way up, so the rivers were like cascading down the mountains.
That's awesome.
Really just wanted to just stay, but what do? I mean...
You can only be gone so
long. I
become
a mountain man.
You could be.
Yeah. Got my Willie cup. I could, you know, start with that.
There you go.
But we had a really good time. Got a huge traffic jam coming back through Cincinnati.
You sent me a Snapchat, and you were like, stuck in traffic in Florence. And I text you back, and I'm like, stuck in traffic in Florence, y'all.
Exactly. So,
you got to say it right.
Y'all, yeah. Things I don't miss about Cincinnati.
Right? Traffic.
The bridge traffic. That is crazy. So,
and you said you don't even think there was a wreck or anything. It was just backed
bridge
up
traffic,
from bridge
yeah,
traffic.
Just trying to get off the highway.
You know why?
No.
Because people don't know how to drive.
Yeah, and it's Sunday.
Right.
It was Sunday, like about 3 o'clock.
Right. It wasn't even like prime time.
Crazy. No. Prime time.
Prime time.
Speaking of prime time, that was you, bro, yesterday. Prime time.
I don't know about that.
Prime time TCB.
Oh.
That's what I'm going to do all week to you.
Gracious. Hey, you know what? I'll take it. It's my birthday week.
So well, I was getting ready to mention it, but celebrate. I'll let you mention
let's
it.
Let's celebrate it. Starting today. We'll start today.
It's usually what I do, celebrate for a week
you
or two.
Celebrate a month. What are you talking about? You're like, hey, it's...
first of August to about mid-September. So you're going to turn 40.
39.
Okay, just checking.
39. I've still got a year.
Guess who else's birthday is this week?
Anita.
Anita. Hers is the day before.
She's turning 39 as well, right?
Again. Mm-hmm. I won't tell you how many years, but again.
Yep. So
this
Anita's
might be the 20th anniversary.
Anita's birthday. Anita's birthday's on Thursday, and mine's on Friday.
Exactly. So you guys were born a day apart.
That's right.
So that's good.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, it is very exciting, and we're celebrating.
We are going to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. That'll be fun.
We're going to Texas Day Brazil.
Nothing but mountains of meat.
Oh, so I'm a little nervous. Thankfully, we're going to be able to go early enough, but. Allie and Christian and I are going to run the 5K that they're putting on in Marysville on Saturday morning. Thankfully, perfect. A, it doesn't start until 10 a.m. But Allie and Christian are going to run it. I'm going to try to race it.
It's going to be like 40 degrees that day.
Yeah, I know.
As the high.
I'm going to try to run it as fast as I can. I'm going to try to get a sub 20 minute 5K. I don't know that I've got it in me, but you don't know if you don't try, right?
Yeah.
You can come down and pace me on your bike.
Did you get your new shoes?
They're stuck in Columbus right now.
What'd you get?
They're Asics Metaspeed.
I need to get that one shoe we looked at.
Hoka.
Hoka. Can you order me a pair?
Since, I can.
You got all this money and you're, you know.
I'll order you a pair as long as you pay me back.
Wow. What are they, $100?
Somewhere around there. Just depends.
Okay. So if I give you $100, it'll cover it?
Maybe. So actually, may be able because I've got a Roadrunner Sports account.
Uh-huh.
I may be able to get them cheaper through them. I have to
really?
Look. Let me look. Let me do some searching.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just give you 75. And so if it's over, if anything under that, and it's over, you keep it. If it goes over, you just make the difference up. How's that?
I'll see what I can find on Facebook Marketplace. I guess. It's like, what size do you wear,
bro? These are all wore out. They got holes in them. They're 14 years old.
I paid $5 for them.
No, you, that's not what
you
I was
said. Hokas.
I said brand new.
You said Hokas.
So, how about you? Your week? Did you have a pretty decent week last week and getting geared up for?
Yeah,
Sunday
got geared up for Sunday. This message just kind of, you know, sometimes they come easy. Sometimes you kind of struggle and wrestle mm-hmm. with them a little bit more. This one I wrestled with. And it wasn't like I was nervous about it. It wasn't.
You eventually won, though, right?
I won. Okay. I hope so. I don't know.
I said TCB, bro.
That's right. Taking care of business. But no, it was one of those where it's just, I wanted to be very intentional. I said that yesterday, and we'll get to that here in a little bit, on just wording and making sure that I wasn't kind of going along with that cliche Christian shame.
Because words are important.
Words are important.
That's why you introduced the Christmas series yesterday.
First service. Second service, I was afraid I was going to do it again, so I didn't even mention that we were starting our Easter series. Because first service, I got
sound like a Christmas series.
It
God with us, Jesus?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So first service, I stand up and I do the announcements and I mm-hmm. get going and I'm like, hey, today we're finishing our sermon series, Take a Leap. Next week we start our Christmas series. And Allie in the background, a couple people like start yelling, it's Easter.
Oh,
like, oh yeah, Easter. But to my credit.
Here it comes.
To my credit. You're starting off like this week in our Easter series with like what, 4 or 5 Christmas scriptures?
Maybe. Possibly.
Tune in this week and see.
Yeah.
And by tune in, I mean show up.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you have to realize that, I mean, the Christmas account in the life account and the cross and the tomb is all so interchangeable.
It's all linked. Yep.
And linked together that you have to you can't like leave one without the other. Am I
you
right?
Can't. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, no, we don't talk much about Christmas at you know, Easter and you know Easter, but I have tried to the last couple of years to you know engage the two together because it is so important that we. That we see it that way. So that's
exactly
why we're doing what we're doing for Easter for the series. So, and that's why we went God, you know, God with us, Jesus, cause, truly, you know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's God with us, right? And then there's all the accounts in the scriptures that talk about that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So it'll be good.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. So the Christmas series for you, the Easter for everybody else.
Most everybody else, yeah, exactly.
Right? So what else?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, it was a good week besides just kind of plugging away at that and everything.
Heard the computer went down again.
Computer went down. I turned to read from it, mm-hmm. and it went black. First service.
That didn't happen to me, but I saw it go black on the screen, on the back wall when it right. happened. I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. I don't pay too much attention to that because, I mean, the time doesn't.
When you're speaking, the time doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
For those of us, like you said, words matter. Time matters, bro.
But see, here's the deal.
Time matters because I'm never over. I'm right on time or under.
That is not true.
I'm very vigilant about the time.
Oh, vigilant. Is mm-hmm. that what we're going to call it?
Yeah, it's under 45 minutes.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
Sometimes barely.
What?
The timer said at what? 35 minutes.
Oh, I thought that was 45.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Well, you know. Never mind.
The Holy Spirit gives me 45 minutes.
Here's the truth, though. When I preach,
yes,
I'm not leading worship, so therefore I'm not talking extra on the other side of things.
True, that's true.
I'm not praying extra on the other side of things, so I get a few extra minutes because I'm not on the other side.
But this is true.
Now, if I was leading worship and preaching...
Oh, that would be... You'd still be in there.
We'd probably still be in there.
I'd be like, what's going on? Why are the cars here on Monday morning?
Brandon's still praying.
He's just having his closing prayer, right? Wow. Time change weekend.
Exactly.
Yeah, so...
But no, it was good. It was a good week, and glad you had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, again, watching the service online is nothing like being here. It's just... Nothing like being here.
It isn't. It's good. And I said this yesterday. It's a great tool.
Yeah.
It's a great resource if you're not able to be here, if you're sick, if, you know, like you guys were traveling. But it's not a substitution.
Exactly. And, like what's the scripture? I can't think of the top of my head, but, you know, don't forsake the assembling together. There's a reason.
Very last scripture I read.
Yeah.
It's in Hebrews. Yeah.
So there's a reason we do what we do,
right.
And there's accountability. There's we won't get into that because I know we're going to close out with that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we were made for community. We were made.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Each other.
And sometimes the Spirit works in that stuff that you don't realize. So.
Right.
Hey, before we get into all that, we were both of our teams won this weekend back to back, right? Back to back, and so I'm in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. And Kentucky was playing Tennessee.
Here's the thing. My friend the day before said, man, if I would have thought about it, I would have got us tickets to go to that game.
Oh, that would have been awesome. That would have been great.
So I was like, we could go down and see about scalping. And he was like, you're looking at $1,000 or more ticket probably. So I'm like, well, let's just watch it on TV.
Let's watch it on TV.
Yeah, right. So, but yeah, Kentucky played very well.
They played very
Tennessee.
Well.
And
I was
the last 55 seconds, and it was like another team came out on the floor.
Yeah.
There was three turnovers in 55 seconds.
I know.
We about lost. We about choked that game.
About choked it. They,
We were up by 12 points with mm-hmm. 55 seconds and won by 5.
I know.
And it was touch and go because I'm like, man, because at one point I thought, what's the big guy for Tennessee,
Dalton Connect.
Dude, he missed in 55 seconds. He missed two of the three pointers.
Yeah, he was disconnected.
If he would have hit one, and we would have went into overtime on that. And I was just like, okay, here we go. Well, this guy across from me is like, I was like, man, I hope we don't go into overtime. He's like, me too, because
right?
Carolina's on next.
Right?
I don't want to watch Kentucky while the game's playing.
Exactly. Hey, and I'll be honest, I don't cheer for Kentucky very often. I was pulling hardcore for Kentucky.
I appreciate
the other night.
That. Yeah. And we were pulling for North Carolina. And so, but you guys.
We played well.
You did play well, but again,
we tried
to the end of the game.
We tried giving it away.
And I was like, this might not happen.
But that's big, especially in that situation, because playing in Cameron Indoor with the Cameron Crazies, their student section is crazy. It's just such a hostile environment, especially for that rivalry. So,
right.
For them to, I hope we've been getting your, were you disconnected the whole time?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. But for them to to show composure down the stretch.
Yeah.
And hold it together at the end.
Right, right.
Duke is so dirty. I mean, you saw, did you see, Flopikowski? I mean, Filipowski.
Yeah, yeah.
Try to trip Harrison Ingram. And then after the game, he was like, well, I don't know what happened. I just, my foot slipped.
Mm-hmm.
Your foot slipped up?
Right.
How's your foot slip and your leg go up?
Well, we were gone. We went to get something to eat and then we came back and caught the last, like, I don't know, 7 minutes of the game, which, you know, I think sometimes the last 7 minutes of the game is longer than
seems like it,
you know, because like literally the last minute and a half. When you get down to these games and they're close, tell me I'm wrong. The last minute of the game can seem like 5 hours because there's so many stops and, you know, timeouts and,
yep.
And all that. But, your game, we're sitting there and I was like, they're about ready to pull a Kentucky here at the end of the game.
Cause right.
I'm like, it was touch and go. I thought
it was.
How many did you guys win by?
We ended up winning by 9.
Yeah. And then you guys.
Yeah. We hit free throws at the end. We played well defense down the stretch too.
Yeah,
and like I said, that was big. Yeah. Power rankings came out though, and Kentucky or Duke is still apparently ahead of Carolina.
How's that possible?
We've beat them twice this year.
That's weird.
And we have a better record. We won the ACC outright.
I don't get it. I know there's other things involved in
that. It's Duke. You know how that goes.
So, when do you guys play next?
Not till Thursday. We've got a double bye. You guys don't play until Thursday.
We play Friday.
Huh?
I think Friday.
I saw it.
Is it Thursday?
I think you play Thursday.
I thought it was Friday.
Thursday night at 6, I think, is what I saw.
I thought it was Friday at 6 when we were at Texas de Brazil.
Oh, I don't think so.
No?
I think it's Thursday.
Maybe it's Thursday. I could be wrong.
Tournament.
Those are exciting games, so.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't talked about this in a while. We got March Madness coming up. We got the brackets coming, so we're going to be filling all those out. And guess what's heading right around the corner? Baseball. Baseball is right around the corner.
Spring training.
I'm
ready.
Sue, you ready?
I hope Sue's ready.
So how's the Braves doing in spring?
They're doing okay. I mean, it's, you know,
how spring doesn't mean anything.
You know how it goes. It's they're playing.
Dude, what was it like 2 years ago, 3 years ago? The Reds lost one game and they ended up losing 99 games or something. So yeah, it doesn't mean anything. So
right.
Spring's a totally different beast. But I sent you a text last night that Joey Votto, who's been with the Reds for 17 years, signed with the Toronto Blue Jays this week. So that's going to be weird for him, I'm sure.
But yeah,
he's from that area.
You are correct. Kentucky does not play until Friday.
Dude, don't question me about Kentucky.
I'm sorry. Do they have TVs in Texas de Brazil? I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
Too classy. We'll have to pull the phone up. Can we take the iPad? Can we get a stand for this iPad?
Right.
Watching the Kentucky game.
We'll be good. We'll be good.
It'll be all good.
But did you, was it last Saturday night? Moorhead. Did you see Moorhead State, Kentucky won?
I did see that.
And they're heading to the big dance now.
Big dance,
so
yeah.
I'm kind of glad about that.
Yeah, Moorhead. I like Moorhead.
But there was nobody, and I mean hardly anybody in Evansville watching that game. Did you see that?
Huh.
I mean, there was hardly anybody in the stands. I felt terrible.
No.
It was new. It was Moorhead and...
Oh, it was... who were they playing?
Oh, yeah. Well, who was that?
Can't think of it. Oh, well.
I can see him.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But... yeah, that was pretty good. And one of their guys, I can't remember what his name is, man, dude, he hit like 3 threes in a row. I was like, this guy's like a machine.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy.
Well, that's way Carolina. You missed it if you didn't watch the first part of Carolina's game the other night. Cormac Ryan, who was a grad transfer from Notre Dame, the last time he played at Duke, scored like 28 or 29 points mm-hmm. with Notre Dame. This past Saturday, he scored 31 points. And that's been the most points scored since Hubert Davis, our coach, did it back in like 1998.
Wow.
But he off the top, like he hit like three threes in a row, like within the first 2 minutes of the game.
Wow.
He's like bang, bang, bang. It was like, oh, it's going to be a great night.
When do the brackets come out? When we can start? Is that this week or next?
Sunday.
This Sunday.
So all of the conference tournaments will go through this week and they will finish up. By Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And then the bracket, bracketology, the selection Sunday, that's what they call it. Selection Sunday will be this Sunday.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
And then women's should be coming out soon. I was watching this stinking Big Ten women's tournament with Nebraska and Iowa. I was pulling hardcore for Nebraska because I can't stand Caitlin Clark. Everybody loves her and all this. She's dirty. She's got a mouth on her. If you can read lips, don't, because she got a mouth on her. Like, I'd rather watch the guys.
I don't know who that is.
You're not missing anything.
I'm not much into women's sports, but that's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
They can play.
I'm sure. I mean, I bet they're sometimes more rough than the
They
dudes.
Are. They are.
Yeah.
Women's basketball sometimes. Yeah. Like they're flopping on the floor and like elbows and all kinds of stuff.
It's like roller derby.
Yeah. I'll tell you about the time, my very first like week at KCU. I'm not a basketball player. Never have been. I can shoot the ball okay. Yeah, you know, at 4 foot two, at, you know, I mean, 5'5". But anyway, we show up and we're in the gym kind of shooting around. And they're like, hey, let's play 3-on-3. And so we get this game going and they're like, Brandon, you guard Megan. I'm like, all right. She's like Megan.
Brandon, guard Megan.
She's like my height, maybe an inch or two shorter. I'm like, perfect.
I bet she beat you to death.
Megan ended up being, I didn't know it, she was a star freshman on the girls' basketball team for KCU. I think they four-peated our 4 years there. They won the NCCAA tournament.
So you're telling me she owned you?
She owned me.
Yeah. You know,
I went back to the dorm room licking my wounds, crying, catching my tears in a bucket.
I bet.
It was bad.
That probably took you down.
Megan could shoot the ball. Megan could drive the ball. It didn't matter.
She was like how taller than you?
She was shorter than me, which was funny because she married Tom, who was played on our men's team, and he's like, I don't know, 6'3", 6'4".
So,
he's like super tall and she's like super short.
And she still owned you?
Oh, she owned me. Yeah. Or, as the kids say nowadays, cooked me, I guess. We were at youth group last night and one of the kids was like, oh, I'm cooking him. I'm like, what? Are you a cannibal?
Oh my God.
Anyway, so there is your week of sports with Brandon and Craig. Thanks for listening.
And we're hoping to get through the weather and blah, 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 blah.
So I did stand up yesterday morning. I said, hey, you're stuck with me today, but looking outside at the weather, that's probably a good thing because now you don't have to hear Craig complain about the weather.
Exactly. Don't have to hear about the weather, yeah. But I heard that we're heading up to the like mid-60s here in a couple days.
Oh, I hope so.
I can deal with it. And then it drops back down on the weekend, so there's that. But I'm just no more snow. No more snow would be nice.
No more snow. So,
but I watched yesterday online. Thought the ladies did well, and you did great, and good job yesterday. And It's always a good thing to, you know, keep up with the live stream. And, I've said it 100 times. That TV looks huge up there, man. It looks huge on the screen.
So. I'm sure it looks bigger next to me than it does you.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. I just think the angle, the way it looks.
It is.
The thing's like 40 inches, right? I mean, it shouldn't be that big. I mean, it looks like it's 60 inches up there.
Exactly.
But it looks good and did a good job. And, I'm always thankful for the people who are in the live stream and do such a good job getting that thing together and getting the camera angles and
being ready to go.
Yep. So good job, guys. And if you're listening, so thanks for that.
But, exactly. Well, and that's what, you know, I told my team, it's nice for me whether I'm gone or whether I'm preaching, you know, to have the worship team, you know, step up. And so I don't have to worry about, you know, kind of what's going on there.
Exactly.
So,
so before we get into this, I just saw the temperature's like 35 degrees right now. So it is warming up.
Yeah, because it was like 29 when we took the kids to school.
Yeah, it was cold. So yesterday, you did a really good job, and it's kind of hard because I was listening to it while I was driving and, you know, looking at it. And so I lost you in the Jellicoe Mountains and then came back on again, you know, for a split second. It like bogged down on me. But, so you were talking about, being radiant and you said you wrestled with this a little bit.
I wrestled with it. Like I said, I was just trying to make sure that the wording was right. Because I think that's super important, and that's why we don't use a lot of things for illustrations,
right?
Like props, but I did yesterday, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. But I started off asking the question: it's like, how many have heard the phrase in one form or another, you know, that Christians are to be the light? Maybe you've heard it said that we're to shine the light of Christ or reflect the light of Christ. And I said that while those phrases are true and even come from biblical teachings, including Jesus's teachings, I believe that a lot of people have a very surface level understanding of that.
Right.
And that that has just become a very cliche Christian saying. It's like, oh yes, well, I've got to shine the light of Jesus.
Right.
And we do, but Satan wants us to keep it at a surface level.
Right, right.
He doesn't want us to understand this. He doesn't want us to take a leap in this area of our life the way that God wants us to take a leap in this area.
Isn't that kind of what the Pharisees did?
Absolutely.
I mean,
they appeared
to be deep, but things were literally at the surface.
Right.
There was no spirituality.
Yep.
There was no light of God whatsoever. Am I right?
Right.
I mean, you agree with that? And that happens today.
Right.
A thousand times over with Christians. Some people just want to appear to be deep.
Right.
And here's the thing. You know if you're deep or not.
And you can.
You know if you're deep or not.
Correct.
You know, and here's how you know if you wrestle. Well, here's how you know if you're, I'm not saying you won't wrestle with
right,
this, but you're living in unforgiveness. You're living in unrepentant sin. You always think you're right and everybody else is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You gossip, you slander, you lie.
Yep.
And you know, that you can't be radiant if that's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And, that's a Pharisee attitude. There's a lot of Pharisees. I've met a lot of Pharisees in my life.
Yep.
And, I'm kind of like Jesus. I have no patience for that.
Correct.
None.
Right.
At all. None at all. So.
Yeah, because the Bible is very clear on how we should be living. And the question that I asked everyone yesterday was, am I radiant? You know, I asked them, I said, is my face shining? Is my face glowing? I said, but more accurately, the question we should be asking is, am I radiant? I said, I'm not talking about physically glowing like my glow worm. I dated myself with that, right? My little glow worm that I had when I was a kid. But we dove back into the Old Testament as well as looked in ahead into the New Testament. You know, and so we went back to Moses leading the Israelites in the wilderness. He's on Mount Sinai. He's receiving, you know, the Ten Commandments from God, God's instructions, the Mosaic covenant. And we see Moses ask a very bold question of God. He asks him to see his glorious presence. And God responds in Exodus 33:19. He says, the Lord replied, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name Yahweh before you. And so God passes in front of Moses. He allows him to see his glorious presence. He tells him, he says, but you cannot see my face because no one has seen the face of the Lord and lived.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moses comes down off the mountain. Moses's face is radiant. It's shining. He's not aware of the transformation that's taken place. And we see the people kind of get freaked out by it.
Mm-hmm.
Exodus 34, starting in 29, it says, when Moses came down Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. So when Aaron, and I love that, very specific here, they mention Aaron's name first. So when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiance of Moses' face, they were afraid to come near him. It's like with this group of people, everything surprised them. Aaron has been with Moses from the beginning. He's seen everything that God has done. I told people yesterday, Aaron's staff is the staff that turned into a snake, right?
Right, right, right.
And so, like, you would think that they wouldn't be surprised by things like this anymore, but they are. And so Moses called out, verse 31, Moses called out to them and asked Aaron and all the leaders of the community to come over, and he talked with them. Then all of the people of Israel approached him, and Moses gave them the instructions the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking with them, he covered his face with a veil. But whenever he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil until he came out again. Then he would give the people whatever instructions the Lord had given him, and the people of Israel would see the radiant glow of his face. So he would put the veil over his face until he returned to speak with the Lord. And I said, after some time, Moses' face, the radiance in it, would go away because he wasn't in the presence of God. And that was kind of the main premise yesterday.
So let me ask you a question. The radiance of God through the face of Moses. Do you think that there needs to be a radiance or a face that we have when God is in us and when God is in charge of us? I know we're not like like Moses, but we do have the presence of God in us.
Exactly.
So why are we not different is what I'm saying.
And that's exactly the point, is we should be.
Exactly.
When we have a response to something that takes place in our life.
Exactly.
We can choose joy even in tough circumstances. Like, no matter what's going on in our life, we should still be radiant. It doesn't mean that we've got it all together.
Yeah.
But it means that our source of hope, our source of joy, our source of peace doesn't come from us, but it comes from being in the presence of the Lord.
Right.
And so that's kind of the whole premise. You know, we talked about, or I read from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. This is from Jesus himself.
Right.
He said, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket.
Right.
Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise you." No, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father.
And that's the key. That the praise goes to God, not
exactly.
You. Because a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they want that adulation. They want that. Yep. They want that pat on the back. They want that thank you. And they get offended if they're not thanked.
Exactly.
And you know, here's the thing. You know, I don't know about you, but I get thanked from time to time, and I appreciate it, but it's not why I do it.
No.
And I do it so God will be glorified. I do it so people will come to know God.
Right.
So people will come to Jesus Christ and know what Jesus Christ can do for them. Because if it's all about me, or it's all about you, or it's all about this, then we're like, I don't know what we're doing.
Exactly.
Because it has to be all about pointing people to God. We get so confused. There is a fine, hairy line that we as the Christian community have to follow.
Exactly.
And it is literally everything goes to God. All of it goes to God.
Right.
God, that's the first thing in our mission statement, to glorify God. And so, okay. That's not just as a church, but that is an individual.
Exactly.
So am I glorifying God by forgiving people that need to be forgiven? Am I gossiping? Am I lying? Am I living in sin?
Right.
How is my life glorifying God?
Right.
And you have to go by the standard of Scripture, not by what you think. Because a lot of times we
think off of our feelings,
and we think off of what we do,
right?
And we give ourselves credit for what we do. So you preach this much, or you teach this much, or you've done this much, or you've worked this there for God, or you've done this. We kind of give ourselves props, and we give ourselves an excuse to kind of not follow that,
right?
And
yeah. Well, and then on the flip side, we do exactly what Jesus warns us not to do. There are times in our lives where we do put our light under a basket.
We do.
And we hide it. And it's you know, we kind of give ourselves a free pass, because that's what Satan wants. Satan wants us to believe that, you know what, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to make that person uncomfortable. You know, we don't want to jeopardize our friendship with that person, do you? So, you know, you can just kind of turn your light off when you're around them, but then turn it back on when you're around people at church. You know, you don't want, you know, that family member to be upset with you.
Right.
You want to keep in good relationship with them. And so we keep our light to ourselves, or we dim our light at certain times, or we hide it completely. And we choose who we're radiant around and who we are not radiant around. And the truth is that Satan wants that. Satan wants us to live in the darkness.
Exactly. I like, I don't know if you're ready for this, but because I don't have your notes.
Go for it.
1 John 1 verses 5 and 6, this is great. It says, this is the message we've heard from Jesus and now declared to you, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So, darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are lying if we say that we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness.
Mm.
What is spiritual darkness? Seriously, like, how would we break that down? Then it says we are not practicing the truth. Spiritual darkness is anything that would go away from God in his word, correct?
Correct.
So, you know, and I know we've talked about this a lot, but I'm not talking about you messing up and sinning. That's going to happen to everybody, but I'm talking about that you live in, you know, fear.
Right.
You live in gossip. You live in unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You live in, you know, lying, or you live in stealing. This is what you do. So you're living in spiritual darkness. Satan is the master deceiver, because he deceives us thinking that we do well, but we are literally some of us can be still walking in spiritual darkness.
Right.
And you come to church every week. Actually, you know what? You can be on staff. I could be living in spiritual darkness.
Absolutely.
You can be living in spiritual darkness. Doesn't mean that I don't do dark things from time to time. Correct. But I don't want to live there.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of times that we really, we read scriptures and we think, oh, that's good for that person.
Right.
But you read the scripture, you know what? This is good for me.
Exactly. Because, and that's what
this has, you know, to be for me.
You look at at verse 6 there, you know, so we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but we go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. And I think, you know, you said it. I can be guilty of this sometimes where we're saying the right things. We're kind of doing this with our mouths. We're saying the right things. We're acting like we've got it all together, but we're really living a life that proves we're living in spiritual darkness.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then, you know, I like this teaching from Jesus. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. Now, I said yesterday, that doesn't mean that we don't sin.
Right.
But Jesus took our judgment. Jesus took our condemnation and he nailed it to the cross. And so if we're found in him, we can have that forgiven from us.
Right.
But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. So when the world says, hey, you can't judge me, you're right. You've already been judged.
Right.
Your sin has already been judged. God has said what is right and wrong.
Right.
And you're not believing. You're not living in a way
right.
that proves you are believing in God's son.
Right.
Goes on. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. And so God's calling us to live in the light, to live
right.
in his presence.
And then I like this kind of, I like the way this links together with what you've been talking. 2 Corinthians 3:12-18. Since this new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. I like that word, very bold. We're not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds. So they cannot understand the truth. Is that not true?
Yep.
And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil, and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, this is phenomenal.
Yes.
There is
freedom.
I love that. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image.
And that's the kicker right there. The Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him. It's not the things that we do. It's not the things that we say. It's not how many times we go to church, how many times we pray a day. God makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. How do we do that? By believing in his son, trusting in his son, living in the light. I love that. That verse really gets me excited when I read it.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Man, if you don't get excited by scripture, like, what are we reading? But I love what it says in verse 18 there. It says that all of us who have had the veil removed, you know, we're not supposed to be like Moses. Because of what Jesus has done, we can remove the veil. He says, we cannot just see the glory of the Lord, but in turn we are to reflect the glory of the Lord. And that's not something we should turn on and off. It's not something that's like, you know what?
Things. It's two different things.
Oh, exactly.
Seeing and actually reflecting it.
Exactly.
So,
And so then I talked about two words, and this is where I kind of...
Let me guess. Shine and reflect?
Shine and reflect. And this is kind of what
this
I got...
This is where the TCB came in right here.
Oh, goodness.
I was like, the boy is TCB today, take care of business. I even looked at it, and he was like, TCB, should we take care of business? I went, yeah.
You're crazy.
What?
But this is where I did pull out a couple of props. I did miss you. And like I said, we don't use props very often, but I do think that at the right time, they can be very helpful.
Mr. Prop.
But you've got shine. The word shine means that we're doing all the work.
Yep.
It means that we are, in control of the light. I pulled out a flashlight, and I've got this super bright flashlight that I used to take Jasper out with. And it actually has like five different levels of dimness. So it goes like super bright all the way down to like super dim. But if I'm in control of the light, I get to choose where I shine it, right? I get to choose when I turn it off, if I want to make it dim, and I'm in control. And that's what Satan wants us to believe about this concept of reflecting the light.
Right.
He wants us to think that we can turn it on and off whenever we want.
Right.
If we're around that group of people, we can dim it a little bit. You know, we can point it this way so we don't offend anybody over there. Because I'll tell you what, that light, I shined it toward the sound booth yesterday morning. And I thought Allison and Allie were going to come out of that sound booth and kick my rear end. Because it's bright. It's
harsh.
That
would have been good on the live stream.
Right?
I would have loved that.
But it's harsh. And so we're like, oh, we don't want to offend anybody. That light is very harsh.
Right.
God's truth can be harsh sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it's exactly what we need to hear. And so you've got the flashlight, and then you've got the opposite that we're called to do, and that's reflect.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled out a mirror. And I said, you know, you can reflect the light, but Jesus now becomes the flashlight, mm-hmm. and we become the mirror. And if you hold the flashlight really close to the mirror, like super close to it, the reflection is super bright. And it's actually, it spans out bigger. As you pull the flashlight away from the mirror, the reflection gets smaller, uh-huh. and it also gets more dim. And I said,
right.
well, for example, what if I were to hold this flashlight here and I were to point it toward you? One of you took this mirror and you walked down the aisleway and out the doors. Well, as you walk away, that reflection is going to continue to get more and more and more dim. And eventually mm-hmm. you're going to reach a point where it's not going to reflect at all.
Right.
Say you wanted to be like, oh, I want to go check out the new carpet in the fellowship hall, which looks very nice, by the way.
It does look very good. I just saw it for the first time a little bit ago.
My daughter was like, oh, that looks so great. We should put it throughout the rest of the church.
Right.
But anyways.
Apparently several people said that is what I heard.
It was. But so I continue to stand there with the light and shine it in your direction. But you take a right and you go down and check out the new carpet in the fellowship hall, maybe grab a cookie or whatnot. There's going to be barriers in between the light
right.
and your mirror, mm-hmm. and it's not going to reflect because why? You're not in the presence of the light.
Right.
And that's what we have to understand, and the big kind of takeaway is we can't reflect the light like God wants us to if we're not in the presence of the light. We can fake it for a while.
So have you ever tried to reflect the light of Christ and not been in his presence?
Yeah.
How's that work?
I take control of the flashlight, and I'm the one that gets to choose where I shine it. But after a while, it's going to become evident to me and to people around me that you're not in.
But
God's
is it
presence.
Evident to some people? Because some people get snookered in.
No, it's not evident to everybody.
What about people that are, you know, always poorly talking about somebody or like spreading half truths or lies?
Oh,
or
absolutely.
Unforgiveness. But you also have, you know, there's people that affect other people, but they have a tendency to believe those people who are not in the presence of God or they're not reflecting the light of Jesus. But that's what they buy into mm-hmm. because that person's been a friend or they've been a Christian for a
yep.
long time. But
I think that's exactly how Satan works.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's that difference between us being in control and us mm-hmm. shining the light versus truly being in the presence and reflecting the light.
I don't want to do that in my life. I don't want to be in control of that anymore. It's too much work. It's, mm-hmm. We read back here, what was that in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 3, you know, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Right.
For the Lord is spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
And the freedom is, You actually are allowing the presence of God to take control of your life. Am I right?
Exactly.
So there's so much freedom, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So that's good. That's good. I like that. We must understand. So
yeah. We must understand. We can't reflect the light of Christ if we are not in his presence. And I said, you know, this seems so simple, but I look at my life and you know, there are times where it's like, wow, man, I was not reflecting the light of Christ the way I need to. Why is that? I wasn't in his presence.
Uh-huh.
What?
I was just thinking about you reflecting the light.
Oh, goodness.
And how TCB you are, and I'm going to get you a big lightning bolt with TCB down the front.
You know, I got a new running hat, and it's neon green with lightning bolts on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dude, you shouldn't be saying those things out loud.
Right?
So you had three ways to stay in God's presence.
Yeah.
And, okay, so I'm going to say this just right off the onset.
They're super easy.
They're so easy, everybody thinks there's got to be more.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, read the Bible, stay in God's Word. Now, there's, tell me if I'm wrong. You can read the Bible
mm-hmm.
and it never affects you.
Correct. If you're reading it just to check a box.
But if you're reading it to allow God to speak to mm-hmm. you, to be in his presence, which means what? That God's Spirit's going to encourage me.
Mm-hmm.
God's Spirit's going to convict mm-hmm. me. God's Spirit, when he convicts me, is not going to be pleasant.
Mm-mm.
And it's going to cause me to, number one, I need to change or I need to do something differently.
Yep.
If you read God's Word and you're never convicted about mm-hmm. anything, I don't know why you're reading it, but anyway.
Exactly.
Anyway, number one, read God's Word. Read the Bible. Stay in God's Word. Stay in the Word.
What I said. I said, it's actually pretty easy to dig into God's Word on a daily basis. Until mm-hmm. it isn't.
Right.
I talked about Allie and I reading the Bible together, you know, a few years ago when we went through the Bible recap. You know, uh-huh. we went through it on our own the first year that we did it as a church.
Right.
The second year we were like, hey, let's do something different. Let's read together. And so we'd put the kids to bed at night and we would read out loud. But every now and then we would miss a day.
Do you know that Charlton Heston has read the entire Bible? You can actually purchase that and have him read that to you.
That would be awesome.
Especially when he gets to the parts of Moses that he actually played Moses.
Oh, yeah.
You know that's going to be wild.
Right? That'd be great.
We should do that. We should listen to that.
We should.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, every now and then we'd get to a point and we'd miss a day. Life would get busy. Something right. would get in the way. And more often than not, that one day would turn into two and three and four.
And then we weren't taking care of business.
And then we weren't taking care of business. We were a week behind. And so what did we have to do? We had to get caught up. And so on those days that we got caught up, we were literally just reading. I mean, we might as well have been reading the Chronicles of Narnia because we were just reading to get it done. We weren't talking right. about it afterwards. We weren't kind of breaking it down. We weren't asking questions. We were like, oh, we got to plow through this. And so we weren't, you know, sitting in the presence of God. We were just reading to get caught up. And so, you know, we have to be intentional of digging into God's Word every single day, because it is supposed to mm-hmm. convict us, supposed to encourage us, supposed to guide us. Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
And then a few hundred verses later,
right?
105, 119, 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my path.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on this that verse is something that is very distinct about that, is it says your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. You're not going to see the entire picture.
You're not going
to
see the entire path.
You're not going to see the entire field.
Yep.
You're going to see the path, maybe a step.
Yep.
I like Proverbs 35. It says every word of God proves true. That means every one of them.
Yep.
He is a shield to all who come to him for protection.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires.
Exactly.
And that's why we've said this 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can read, you know, a verse of passage of scripture like Romans chapter 12 verses 1-5 or whatever.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, this is awesome. And then you'll read it again a month later and you're like,
it's going to hit different.
Totally different.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And that's the thing. And I said, you know, it's so important, especially in our culture today, which uses God's word to go against God's word.
Right.
I mean, how often do we see that?
Yep.
But it's so important for us to immerse ourselves in scripture
so
that we can, one, grow closer to God.
Yep.
And be in his presence so we can reflect his light, but also, two, so we can discern false teaching.
Exactly.
And then the second way is to pray. And again, it's one of those things that's like, oh, yeah, well, I pray. But I think prayer is one of those things that, if we're honest, we kind of reserve for before meals and before bedtime.
Right.
It's not something that we're continually doing throughout the day. And the truth is that prayer brings us into the presence of God. We read in Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is close to all who call on him. I love that. He's close to us if we call on him. Yes, to mm-hmm. all who call on him in truth.
You know, the thing I've learned about prayer, especially, say, over the last 4 or 5 months, more than I've ever known before, is that you almost have to come to prayer time, not every time, but most generally. I mean, we should do this quite often, where we come to the Lord like David did, where you're like, search my heart.
Yes.
Search my heart.
Know me, God, yes.
Show me what needs to happen, because I think we're so full of ourselves as Christians, is we really think we got our stuff together.
We convince ourselves that we've got it all together.
And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care who you are, you don't have your stuff together.
I don't.
You need to prove you need to go before God and just say, search my heart
mm-hmm.
and prove. And show me where I need to change.
Exactly.
Guaranteed you need to change. In fact, you know, I, that's a prayer that I pray probably 3 or 4 times a week. And, yeah. Especially last fall, that was a prayer I was praying every single day of just mm-hmm. like, Lord, show me what I need to see. Show me where I need to yeah. change. Show me what you want me to see.
Correct.
Not for what somebody else needs to do, but what do you want yeah. me
show
to
show me
do?
Those imperfections.
What yeah. do I need to do, God, to get closer to you?
Exactly.
And not think about anybody else or the world or whatever. And when you, it really was a huge factor for
correct.
Me getting closer to God because, God shows me and shows us where mm-hmm. we need to change or what needs, you know, to happen.
Yeah. Last week you talked about, you know, baptism
uh-huh.
and, you know, pretty much in the, you pretty much said the fact that if it was good enough for Jesus,
yeah.
it should be good enough for us. The same is true, honestly, of prayer as well.
Uh-huh.
Jesus was God, right?
Oh yeah.
But what did we see Jesus do throughout his ministry? Go off by himself to be alone with God, to pray with God. We see Jesus in the garden as yeah. Judas comes to arrest him.
Mm-hmm.
What was he doing? He was praying. So we need to, you know,
exactly
go off of his example too.
Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Did yep. you hear that, Brandon?
I did.
Don't worry about anything. If you don't worry about anything, you really truly are TCB. You're taking care of business.
I wish that was true.
Instead, pray about everything. That's a big thing.
Pray about everything.
So if there's something that you're worrying about, something that's heavy on your heart, Why are you allowing that to happen? Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done.
Exactly.
James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now that doesn't mean you go up to everybody you know
right.
and confess your sins, but it means that if you're close to somebody, this is how the body of Christ works.
Mm-hmm.
The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results.
Yeah. And so what I said there, so they were, I kind of broke prayer down in a couple different ways here. First of all, I was saying that we should be praying not just about things that are, you know, kind of those fire alarm deals
uh-huh.
where it's like, oh, 911, I've got to call, you know, I've got to call God because
right.
things are going crazy in my life. You know, we should be praying when we're joyful. We should be praying when we're, you know, happy, when we're sad, when
right.
we're upset, all of those things. And so that's why, you know, the Philippians 4:6. But then that James 5:16, confess your sins to each other. It doesn't say confess other people's sins to each other.
Right.
It says confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed.
If you start talking about other people's sins, that means you're a gossip.
That's gossip. But, and I think back over my life, you know, almost 39 years now, I've seen that in the church so often. It's like, oh, hey, did you hear what she did? Hey, did you hear what he said?
Or did you hear what they did to me?
Yeah.
Let me tell you how bad they treated me.
But then we make ourselves feel like it's not gossip by saying, we should pray about that.
Yeah. Just pray for me.
Yeah.
You know what? On you.
And so, you know, I said, we have to be careful over that we're not using it. But then, you know, so we should be praying with each other and
right.
for each other. But there's also a time for prayer to be private as well.
Yep.
Jesus says this in Matthew 6:5-8. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. He's talking about the Pharisees here, the Sadducees. He said, I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask him. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great reminder that
exactly.
just tell God, because he already knows what you need. It doesn't mean that he doesn't want you to pray. He does.
I like that word, Babylon.
Babble. Yeah.
Like next time you pray a long prayer, I'm like, dude, you were babbling.
You were
babbling.
Exactly. I've got to be careful.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you were TCB in though, so that was good.
Yeah, but Jesus warns us here not to be like the Pharisees.
Exactly.
He's like, you know, don't look religious. Go in your prayer closet. Pray, you know, in mm-hmm. private to mm-hmm. your Father. I said I was listening to Francis Chan a little over a month ago, and he was talking about him and his wife talking about this passage of scripture, and she looked at him. She goes, does anyone do anything in private anymore?
Right.
And he kind of said, he sheepishly looked back right. at her and he was like, yeah, sinful stuff. But then he went on to talk about how that we want to be seen. Everything we do, it's like,
oh, yeah.
oh, look at me. You know, we post things to social media, Facebook, Instagram. It's like we lay our Bible open. We put our coffee by it. We get the light right. We take the picture and we post it. It's like coffee time with Jesus. And he's like, we just want to look like we've got it all together. And that's not what God's saying.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying, no, go into your prayer closet and just pray.
Exactly.
It's between you and God. D.L. Moody. That was very good.
This is really good.
Allison Clark actually shared this with me. She was like, oh man, I was thinking about this. I'm like, oh yeah, throwing that in because time doesn't apply to me. And so,
right, exactly. Right? Only when you preach.
Exactly. But D.L. Moody says, we are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine.
That's really good.
Yep. Very
good. That is very good.
Yep.
Your next verse, I love this. This is actually on my folder.
And it
my,
is.
That I carry up every yep. week. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. That's hard.
Mm-hmm.
For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Wow.
Never stop praying. Prayer is a constant. It's
always
not,
be joyful.
Exactly. It's wow. not something that's reserved for mealtime and bedtime. And it's okay to pray at those times. We do. My family does. But I said when you're driving in the car.
Right.
People probably think I'm crazy driving down the road talking to myself, but
dude, you don't have to be in your car for me to think that. I just know that.
True.
You get your Richard Simmons shorts out. You get your Richard Simmons tank top with the TCB logo on it. You get your lightning bolt lime green hat. You got your pink shoes on. You hop on the Gene Simmons trail. Dude, you're crazy.
I am. Dude, I, not to get off topic.
Those shorts, where did you buy shorts like that? At the 80s store?
No, they're GeneSimmons.com.
Richard?
I mean, RichardSimmons.com.
They're pink and blue stripes, right?
No.
Okay, pink and white?
Anyways, I ran. Never mind.
Pink and off-white?
We're not going to talk about it.
Pink and green? No, good. Tell me. You might as well. We're down that road.
Friday, I ran 9 miles. Okay. I told Allie, I left the house. I'm like, I'm not going to run long. I'm just going to run a little bit. So I headed down the trail, and then I went across the new bridge.
Was this on the video, or was this a real run?
This was a real run. I was in Marysville.
It was warm enough to run?
It was pretty chilly, but it wasn't bad.
Okay.
Anyways, I ran across the new bridge that they've got going across the creek that goes over toward the Upground Reservoir.
Yeah, yeah.
I went all the way over there, and I'm like, I'm here. I might as well hit Raymond Road. So I ran down Raymond Road back into Marysville where Ace McAuliffe's is.
Ugh.
And then I started going up the sidewalk there, and I went down, and I hit 5th Street. And I'm like, I'm heading that way. I might as well go to Tim Hortons. And so I ran all the way down to Tim Hortons, and I got closer to Tim Hortons. I was like, I got my phone. I could get me a coffee because I've got the app. And then the closer I got, the more I thought, drinking a coffee and then having to run 2 to 3 miles back to my car, probably not a good idea. I may have to go potty. So I just ran past Tim Hortons, potty, and cut across the crosswalk right there at Moo Moo Car Wash, back up the sidewalk and on back in. It was fun. It was nice.
I've never run. Richard Simmons shorts.
No.
Number 3, worship with other believers.
Exactly.
Which is good. I mean, we have to do that, and sometimes we don't think we need to do that.
Right, but that it is, honestly, that is a crucial part of staying in the presence of the light, of being in the presence of God.
Exactly.
You know, and we have talked about that importance so often, and I said that, you know, just a couple weeks ago, I think you reiterated this point in the fact that when we come into this building on a Sunday morning, we don't come here to meet God.
Right.
We should be bringing God with us. If we are worshiping throughout the week and we're spending time in prayer, we're spending time in our Bibles, we should be bringing the presence of the Lord with us. If we meet people for a Bible study or a night of prayer or something else, we should be bringing the presence of the Lord with us. But it's also meeting with the body, worshiping together with the body,
right,
should be something we should be committed to. I understand you're going to miss a time or two. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. I was like, take our live stream, for example. It's a great tool. You would not have been able to have stayed caught up and heard the sermon from yesterday without the live stream, right?
Exactly.
And Logan and Michelle and Stephen and Chad and everybody else that was in it, they do a really good job.
Right.
But the live stream is literally a tool
right.
for if you can't be here, if you're sick, if you're on vacation, something like that.
Well, there's power worshiping with other believers with the
exactly.
Spirit of God because that's what God demands.
Exactly.
It's actually not a suggestion. It's a command.
Correct.
We have to worship with each other.
Yes.
You can do it by yourself, but we have to come together. If they outlawed the Church of Jesus Christ and they were going to shoot us or kill us or arrest us for doing it, guaranteed the Church of Jesus Christ is going to continue to meet. We'd be meeting in people's houses with smaller groups and we'd still
exactly.
be worshiping and praising the Lord. Nobody can stop that
exactly.
because it's the power of God that brings us together.
Correct. So, correct.
How about Tony Evans?
Yeah, and that's what I said. You know, I've heard people say all, you know, throughout my life, and I'm sure you've heard it, and Tony's heard it, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian.
Exactly.
I'll let you read it, because I know you like this.
Well, you know, he's one of my most quotable people I quote.
He is.
He says, I hear people say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And they're absolutely right. Salvation is through faith alone in Christ alone. But you don't have to go home to be married.
True.
But stay away long enough and your relationship will be affected.
Correct.
That's true, because if you don't go home till, you know, the 1st or 2nd of April and don't, you never, no communication, you just pass your house and wave.
Beep.
Horn. Well, you're going to be in trouble. There's going to be some marriage counseling going on.
I'll probably end up with two black eyes.
That I'd like to see.
Oh,
then sure Allie would be TCBing.
She'd be
taking care of business.
Yeah, but I said, you know, how true is that? We were created for community. We were
exactly.
God created us to worship together, to exactly. fellowship together, to learn, to grow, to mm-hmm. you know, commune with each other, to serve the body.
Right.
And so then I closed with Hebrews chapter 10. This command from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23-25. I said, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Mm-hmm. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near." We awesome. Can't encourage each
verse.
Other.
I love that verse.
If we're not
yep.
worshiping together.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Well, good job yesterday. You did a good job.
Thank you.
I think things by the live stream looked really good. So
yeah.
Yeah, it was yeah. awesome. Just to let you guys know, we got a few things coming up. New Path Pregnancy Resource Center volunteer training. If you're interested in that, it's called Focus on the Heart. It takes place on April the 8th and 9th, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30. If you'd like more information or you'd like to register for that, you can go to newpathprc.com. Also, the Walk for Life is coming on May 4th. You know about that, right?
I do know about that.
That is 9:30 to 12:30. And if you register by April the 10th, listen up, you get a free t-shirt. Registration and support are both done through the New Path website. Again, newpathprc.com. But if you have any questions, you can contact the church and you can contact Molly Nauman, who is the one who is our liaison for that.
Awesome.
Remember the parking lot? We're getting that ready and people are donating to that so we can get the parking lot done sometime this spring, probably sometime after Easter. That's going to look great.
It's going to drive great, too, because I drove through yesterday for youth group and just had to dodge the potholes.
Exactly. Easter series starts this Sunday for 3 weeks.
Easter? Christmas.
Easter. Okay. God with us, Jesus, right? And that'll be for 3 weeks. And then don't forget Good Friday service is March the 29th at 6 p.m. And then Easter Sunday, March 31st, 9 and 10:30. So looking forward to that.
It's going to be good.
Pizza with the Staff coming up. You know about
that? Pizza with the Staff. That's in April.
April 14th.
You can sign up by going to richwood.church/sign-up. If you are newer with us and haven't went through that Pizza with the Staff, it's a great time to,
yep.
A, eat pizza.
Eat pizza and get to know a little bit
and
about
and get to know a little bit more about us.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for 4 weeks, April 14th, 21, 28, and May 5th, that's Sunday evenings from 5 to 6, Anita and I are going to be doing a marriage series called The Crazy Cycle. And that's going to meet in Fellowship Hall. And if you're married, you've been married more than 6 months, you know marriage takes a lot of work, especially a godly marriage. So
is that you and Anita are trying to take care of your crazy cycle and we're all counseling you?
That's
or?
Probably going to be more like it because we got time. So that might happen.
Okay. Yeah.
And maybe then, you know, you all can take care of business on us.
I don't know. It's always just a crazy cycle.
It is a crazy cycle.
You're missing one more thing.
What is that? Oh, yes.
Tomorrow night. Night of prayer, 6 o'clock, right here at RCC.
Be here or be square.
Be here or be square.
Yep, exactly. So, but good job again yesterday.
Thank you.
Good job. And thank you to everybody who just serves God here and just glorifies God and loves God and just keeps the kids department.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people who work all the time, people down the Connections Cafe sing and live streams and, you know, does building and grounds. Awesome. Awesome. So.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yep.
Well, hopefully we're going to tick up a little bit in temperature and get a little warmer this week.
I need it.
You need it and I'm ready.
I went from shorts to no shorts. I'm actually wearing.
But thankfully.
Yeah, right.
He meant shorts to pants.
Exactly. Yes.
So be thankful you guys.
Take your business.
This is an audio podcast and not a video exactly, podcast, right?
Exactly.
So on that note, Craig, you have a great week.
You too.
Everybody else out there, have a great week. Bye.